Wow. Seeing if that, yeah, there it is. It is working. It's always fun when you first turn it on. Is it actually going to work or not? What a good morning, huh?
Yeah.
Worship was beautiful. It's just astounding. It's funny, I've been kind of contending in my own mind between two different messages. It was three yesterday, and it got down to two today. And during worship, I thought I had it all sorted exactly where I was going to go. And now I can't go there. So we're going with option B today, which is the Lord's original plan. I just wasn't able to see it yet. But I'd had on my heart to share, and I'm just going to give a piece of it and point you to direction in case it was for you. I'd had a heart on my... on my heart to share the message that one of the heavenly beings that have been before the throne for the last few eons would share if they would come and speak on a Sunday morning. And if you're interested in hearing some thoughts on what that might be, we've got some little cards in the back that have my website. And on the podcast, it's a free message. You can listen to it anytime you want. You can let your friends know about it. It's called Heaven's Gospel. And I think it'll be helpful for some of you. But where I want to go today, because the other thing I was thinking about was this whole feeling, the talking about the compassion of Jesus. And I feel it really fits in with what the Lord is doing this morning. So I think that's the direction I'm supposed to go. And so let me pray, and we'll see where the Lord takes us. Papa, we are so grateful that you are moving in a group of people and you are drawing out the image of Christ that you've put within them so that they could reveal to their family, to their community, and to the city who you are. Father, I'm asking that as we get into your word this morning, that you would begin to open up revelation, that we would see the truth that is in your word, and that as we see that truth, that it would begin to transform us. Father, I'm asking that this would not just be a time where we get information, where we get facts about what your word says, but this would be a time where we encounter your spirit living through the word. For the words that come from your mouth, Lord, they are spirit and they are life. And that's what we're asking, that words would come forth that are spirit and that are life, that would release another level of life into our hearts and into us, that we would become different, that we would have more of you coming through us. And Father, I'm asking that in each and every heart where there are parts where it's hard for us to see, for whatever reason, Lord, I'm asking that you would come and that you would bring healing and that you would bring a touch and that you would open up hearts to receive everything that you are saying today. And Lord, I surrender to your Holy Spirit to come and to move through me and give me the words that you want to be spoken. Lord, make me a vessel for you, that this morning we would accomplish heaven's purposes. Lord, we surrender. We surrender. And Father, we're asking that your Spirit would come in power to reveal Jesus, that we would see Jesus, that we would recognize how beautiful and how glorious he is, even more beautiful and glorious than what we recognized before. And we're asking power, Lord, that we would not just see, that we would become, and that we would not just begin to take steps, but that we would see you move in power through our little acts of obedience, that we would be the answer to the prayer that you told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we surrender this time. We surrender all of the thoughts that are in our head, all of the pressures and all of the things that would distract us. We surrender them. We surrender ourselves and we declare that this space And this time is holy, set aside for your purposes. And we echo the prayers that we've been praying all morning. Lord, your kingdom come. Open up space here for us to encounter heaven. We want heaven to come. We want to see you, Jesus. So, come. For your glory. For the sake of your name. Amen. Now, when you look through the Gospels and you read about the life of Jesus, he had some fun stuff that he got to see. You can't really get very far in the Gospels before you see these miracles happening. You see this guy that's been lame, that hasn't been able to walk. All of a sudden, his legs get healed and he's able to walk. You have the lepers that are getting healed. You have this dead guy that gets raised from the dead. You have all these wonderful things. You have him taking one person's lunch and spreading it out among many people. You've got him walking across water. There's so many amazing things that Jesus did. And when we take a look at Jesus' life, and the Word says that we're supposed to have the life of Christ within us, that as we allow ourselves to surrender to what Jesus accomplished through his death, his burial, and his resurrection and ascension to the Father, that we're supposed to become like Jesus, that the very life of Jesus begins to come through us and we get transformed. And part of that is getting to be a part of all the wonderful things that Jesus did. John chapter 14, verse 12, it has this passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says, you know, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. There's greater works than Jesus. So if you think about all the stuff that Jesus did, that becomes a starting point for each individual believer. Now, there's something particular in that verse, because it says, whoever believes. It doesn't say upon all those that believe. And so sometimes we read a verse like that and we think, oh, well, you know, there's a lot of believers now, and a lot of believers are doing a lot of good things, and corporately, maybe we're doing more than, you know, greater works than what Jesus did. And that's a nice thought, but he doesn't leave room for that in the Scripture, because he uses that phrase, some translations, whosoever believes. Another translation, the one who believes. It's not talking about a corporate thing. It's talking about an individual thing. That God has called each and every single one of us to do the works that Jesus did. And it's not just simply it's not merely the works of power only. It's all of the works of Jesus. And when Peter, having spent 3.5 years with Jesus and having been one of the kind of the inside track, he was one of the three closest friends that Jesus had. When he'd go off to have special things happen, Peter would be one that would be invited along with Jesus. And so he had a special relationship with Jesus. And after Jesus is ascended to heaven and Peter is preaching, in one of his sermons, he summarizes Jesus' whole life and ministry in this way. And it's in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, where it says how Jesus of Nazareth, anointed by the Holy Spirit, went about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. That this Jesus, that his, the summary of his life is he went about doing good things. In the Gospel of Mark, when he's talking to his apostles about leadership and about what it's going to look like once he moves on, and he's not there to be the specific leadership, and he's giving an example of his life, he says, you know, it's not going to look like everything else. It's not going to look like the world looks like, because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And when you look through the stories that pepper through the Gospels that talk about Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry, and you look at the works of power, it's interesting, you actually can't find one key that is consistent in every single one of them. That there's no secret to operating in power. Now, I mean, as close to a secret, if you will, as the verse we quoted earlier, John 14, 12, whoever believes. It's just a matter of believing what Jesus said. And in that very verse, he says that the way to operate in greater works, it's the exact same way that you get into the kingdom. It's not a different faith. It's the same faith that gets you into the kingdom that allows you to be in power. I mean, if you can believe that God is going to wash away all of your sins and make you into a new creation that's going to live forever in heaven and you never have to worry about death, it seems like an easy thing to think he's going to heal a headache. I mean, compared to that, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, eternal life in a heavenly place compared to raising the dead? That's not that much. But there's no comparison in those two. And so there's this place of faith, but there's one other thing that crops up again and again in Jesus' ministry and specifically related to the things that he accomplished. And it's a word that's called compassion. Now, in the Greek, the word for compassion, and I can't say it. It doesn't sound like you're being compassionate. It kind of sounds like you're having something stuck in your throat. But what it literally means is to have your insides twisted up in a knot. Literally means to have your inner parts wrenched. The compassion that Jesus operated in, it wasn't what we would think of as human sympathy. It's not that pity thing that it just doesn't feel clean. It's not that, aw, poor people. It's this anger, it's this wrenching of the inside. And actually the word has this feeling of anger attached to it. And it's a passionate emotion. It's not just a little thing. It's a real movement of the heart. It's like, ah, that's not right. It's a movement. There's a passion in compassion. And the power of Christ moves through compassion. And one of the things that God has invited each one of us into is to allow the heart of Christ to take over so that we have the compassion of God. Paul actually says, and I think it's in Colossians chapter 3, put on compassion. Put it on. It's your extra coat. Just put it on. Wear it around you. Make it the thing that people see when you come around. Put on compassion. Let it be the way that you operate. Because if you're going to be like Jesus and go about White Inch doing good, anointed by the Holy Spirit, you're going to need compassion to accomplish it. Because there are people whose needs are great. And we have a tendency, once we get to a place where our life starts coming together and our needs are not so great, there can be a tendency in our hearts to kind of hide ourselves from the pain that other people are going through. Because it's difficult to see that pain and to feel that pain because there's something in us that feels helpless. Now, I would suggest to you that feeling of helplessness is actually a lie. And what we need to be doing is dealing with that feeling of helplessness, not the feeling of compassion. But we so often shut our hearts off from pain. We have molded our societies where most cities are set up, that those that have are in one place and those have not are in another place, so that those that have don't have to be bothered with the problems of those that have not, so that they can pretend that life is okay. And the church has not allowed the luxury of such things. We actually have to get our hands dirty in the lives of other people and allow our hearts to be moved by what they're going through. Because allowing our hearts to be moved is the secret to the power that gets them out of what they're going through. Because it's like was said, it's more than giving food. Yeah, we need to be about giving food, but our goal is that as we give food, that God does something more, that God begins to break into their heart. They begin to feel hope. They begin to see themselves as different. They begin to realize that they're not alone. They begin to feel loved when they're unlovely. And the kingdom of God begins to break in. And sometimes it's that final break in where they start and suddenly see that they're not just loved by these people that are trying to be nice, but they're loved by God himself who's drawing them into his family. That he's been crying out for them for all of creation, and they can finally see, and their hearts get turned and their lives get changed around. And addictions begin to fall off and sickness begins to get healed as we bring the power of God to bear. But to do that, we need to get in. We need to get around the brokenness. We need to get to the places where people are hurting and put our hands in there and not allow our hearts to get separated. And it's not just a little thing that we do so that we feel better about ourselves, so we can pat ourselves on the back and say, you know, I'm nice. I help out a little bit. But it becomes a lifestyle because our hearts won't let us not do something. Because that word for compassion, it's not that I'm going to do a little bit so I can feel nice. It's a movement. I've got to do something about it. Let's take a look at a couple stories out of Jesus' ministry and take a look at some of the things that compassion released for Jesus. The first place we're going to go is Matthew 18. Now, this is a story where Jesus is talking to his disciples about forgiveness. And they've been asking, you know, how often do we have to forgive? You know, if I forgive 7 times, is that good enough? And Jesus is like, no. How about 70 times 7? How about just keep on forgiving until you've lost count? Basically, is what Jesus is saying. It's you just got to keep on doing it. It's a lifestyle of forgiveness. It's not a paying back. It's gonna be how you are from this point forward. And then he begins to tell the story. He talks about this master that has slaves, and some of the slaves they owe him a lot of money, and one particular slave owes him what would be the equivalent, I think it's about 10 years worth of wages for a laborer. That's a lot of money, especially for a slave that's getting paid less than a laborer's wages, right? He's not going to be able to pay this thing back. And so the master brings him in and says, this is what you owe me. And then the reply of this slave, and this is in verse 26 of Matthew 18, the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him. Now that's that word for compassion in the Greek. The inside's wrenched. I mean, he looks at this guy and he's like, you know, there's no way he's ever going to be able to pay this back. He's just going to end up suffering more. You know what? Forget it. I can't make you do that. No, it's just forget it. You're forgiven. That whole debt, everything you owed, just let's start over. Move on from here. Now, he's not talking about money here, right? Because the context is forgiveness. What Jesus is showing us is the Father's heart for each and every one of us. It was compassion. When the Father looked down on humanity, knowing that we were going to fall, after the fall, through the fall, that for all of time when he looked at humanity, he saw this debt that was absolutely impossible to pay. We had a debt. We owed him. We have sinned against him. We have hurt his feelings. We have been his enemies. We have destroyed the things that he loved. We've destroyed ourselves. Again and again, we have sinned and we have a debt that it is impossible to repay. There's no way, even if you thought that you could be perfect from this moment forward, you can't make up for what you already did. There's a debt that's impossible to pay, and God looks at that debt and he goes, yeah, there's nothing that they're going to be able to do about it. I mean, yeah, they deserve punishment, but I just can't do that to them. Jesus, would you pay this debt they can't pay? Let's just wipe it away. Let's wipe the slate clean, because I hurt when I look at what's coming to them. I don't want that for them. Let's make a way. And so the master forgives the whole debt out of compassion. The very reason Jesus came was because of the compassion of the Father. See, that the compassion moved the greatest miracle that there ever was. Now, you find the same principle in another parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15, where he talks about the prodigal son. And some of you are familiar, a father has two sons. The younger son comes to him and says, you know what, you're taking too long dying. Give me my money now, because sooner or later I'm going to get the inheritance. Just let me have it now so I can do what I want with it. And the father just gives it to him. I mean, that's a pretty rude request, and yet he just gives it to him because he loves his son. See, he gives him, and he goes off and he wastes every bit of it. And when the son finally realizes what he's done and he's coming home, it says, then moved with compassion, the father ran to his son. But the things that we have done to offend God's heart can't even compare to what that younger son did to offend his dad's heart. And yet he runs. He takes the initiative. He's not waiting for us. He takes the initiative to run, to show mercy, to show compassion to us. There's another passage, and specifically related to the miraculous. Take a look at Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Now, this is the story of Jesus taking these few loaves and these few fish and feeding the people. He had this great crowd that had come together because he was preaching, and they'd seen what he was doing, and so they'd come out of all the villages, and they're out on the fields, and they're just hanging out on the hillsides, just listening to him, and they'd been there for days. And starting in verse 1, he says this, in those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd. They've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they'll faint on their way, and some of them have come from far away. His disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he says, how many loaves do you have? And then we know the rest of the story. He takes what they have and he multiplies it, and everybody gets something to eat. But the reason he did it was because his heart was moved with compassion. He noticed they needed something they did not have, and he had it within him. Within the kingdom of God was the availability to answer their need. He didn't stop this when he got out of the Gospels. A few years ago, I was pastoring a church up near Boston, and some of our church decided that they were going to take their Christmas vacation and they were going to go to Mozambique and spend the time with orphans in Mozambique that have absolutely nothing. And so they packed up, you know, they packed up what they could, and then they packed up a bunch of stuff to take with them. And they were going to do this huge Christmas dinner, and they were going to give away all these toys and gifts to the kids. And so they figured that there was going to be around 40 or 50 kids And so they brought enough for 40 or 50 kids, and they get there, and they wrapped up all the gifts nice so they'd actually get a Christmas gift. Some of them, for the first time they'd ever gotten it in their lives. I mean, these kids that have no parents, or their parents were extremely abusive, and they had to get rescued from their homes. And now they're in these orphanages, and they're being fed, and they had this wonderful meal, and they served them. And when the kids come for the gifts, they realize we've got 40 gifts, and there's 100 kids. We're not going to unwrap the gifts and try to figure out how to separate them out. They didn't put much in any one box. Well, I guess we just got to give away what we have. And so they started handing the kids the gifts. And all 100 kids got a gift. They don't know when it happened or how it happened. They just know that they just kept on handing out gifts. And there were enough gifts for every kid that came. That's compassion. That's the movement of God to make sure that you have what's required to move in love and mercy for the people that are in need, because he does not separate his heart from the broken and the hurting. He feels the pain of those that have been oppressed by the devil, that have been held down by poverty, by sickness, by addiction, by fear, by shame. He knows the pain. He doesn't separate himself. And so he steps in and releases power to accomplish what's needed, even if it's a little thing like a gift, because he's not separate from the little things. It's not like he has a limited amount of power. Like he has to figure out, oh, well, I'll give a little bit of power for this, but I'm going to run out if I do all the little stuff, so let me only do the big stuff. He's never going to run out. He's involved in all of it. If we ask and we expect. So he multiplies food because of mercy. Let's take a look at another passage. Go to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14. This is a different time when he's just getting ready to feed the crowds. This is when they first came. He did that twice. And this is another time when he'd done that. And he just got into this area in Matthew 14 and verse 14. And he went ashore and he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them and healed their sick. You know, before I really believed that God cared, I had this issue when I got around people that were really sick. I just couldn't stand seeing people in pain. I could not stand going to hospitals. I mean, like, to the point when my grandmother was in a care home, I could barely go see her like once a month. And I had to fight that thing, because I just felt so helpless in the midst of so much pain, so much suffering, and seeing people going through what they were going through. I didn't know how to handle it, because I felt helpless. You know, that feeling, we need to allow the Word of God to come into our hearts and begin to break that, because there's a lot of you here, you have such sensitive hearts that you hide your hearts because you're afraid of what would happen if you let yourself feel all of it. It hurts too much. But there's real power on the other side of letting go. You actually see healing come. It's that feeling of, that's not right. I'm going to do something about it. I was in a meeting and I saw a guy and he had a what is it called, thing in the ear. Help you hear. A hearing aid. There you go. I'll talk soon enough. The right word will come out at one point. He had a hearing aid in his ear. And I'm just like, oh, that's just not right. And so I'm like, Lord, we've got to do something about it. So I walked up to him. I said, do you mind? I know this sounds weird, but would you take your hearing aid out for just a second? So he takes his hearing aid out. And I begin to pray for him. And his ears got completely healed. It was just that feeling. That's not right. We can't We can't let that stay. And I had another time when I was starting to realize that God healed, and me and my wife were driving down the road, and we see this guy in a wheelchair, much like the one her sister has with the electric wheelchair. And he's going down the side of the road, and you can imagine what this might be like. We parked on the other side of the road, and we got out of the car and ran across the road saying, "Hey, hey, hey." You know, he's like, "Who are these weirdos chasing me down?" And we finally get up to him, and you know, "Hey, you know, obviously there's something. Could we pray for you that God would heal you?" And he let us pray for him, and nothing happened, but we made a friend. And we had a relationship with him for the next 3 years while we were still there in Arizona. We just kept on running into him. He started coming to church, and we started to be able just to be a part of his life and just to be a friend. So whether you see the total breakthrough, I mean, you don't stop contending because you just don't see it, or you don't, the goal is that they feel the love that came in your heart. But you've got to let it come into your heart for it to come out of your heart for them to feel it. So he healed people. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 42 is just another passage where it talks about Jesus' compassion related to healing. And it says this, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" Now, let me paint just a little bit of a picture. We don't know what leprosy does to people now. Well, some of us have heard, but we don't see that on a regular basis. What this disease of leprosy would do is it would begin to eat the skin, and people's skin would fall, begin to have boils, would begin to have blisters, would begin to fall off. Parts of their body would begin to decay. They're basically decaying while they're still alive. And so sometimes they lose fingers, they just fall off. Parts of their ear just fall off. Parts of their nose would just fall off. And it was a very visible disease. And it was one of the most contagious diseases ever. If you touched leprosy, you got leprosy, period. It wasn't like a high probability. It's just you get that virus on your skin. I mean, it's skin contact. It's on your skin. That's it. And so these people, they when they would get this disease, they would have to separate themselves from everything they knew. But maybe they lived at home, or maybe this man, and let's just draw a picture. Maybe this particular man, maybe he had a wife, maybe a young child. And shortly after he has his young child, he finds out he has leprosy, and so he has to leave home. He can't be at home to take care of his wife. He can't be at home to help his child grow. And so he's hanging out with all these other lepers, and he's seeing where he's going. Maybe a couple years have gone by. He's got a couple things. They begin to wrap themselves with pieces of cloth so they would hold their body parts on. They would wrap their hands up so that their fingers wouldn't fall out. And so he's trying to take care of himself. And every time his kid comes to see him, takes one look at him and begins to scream in terror because he's scared of his dad. It's not just the physical disease, it's the emotional disease that he's marked, and nobody wants to have anything to do with him, and he knows it, and he comes and he's crying out to Jesus. You know, if you want to, I mean, why would anybody want to have anything to do with somebody like me? But if you want to, you can make me clean. And Jesus, he doesn't just pray for him and heal him and then touch him. He reaches out still full of leprosy and he says, "I want to." Touching him, said, "Be made clean." See that? He wasn't afraid to touch the pain of other people. It's a secret. It's the same compassion when Jesus sees the widow and her son that's coming out, and he sees the funeral, and the son's coming out and being carried away. And he sees the son, and that's okay, but he sees this mom crying over losing her son, and moved with compassion, Jesus went up and raised this young man from the dead, because he couldn't stand to see this mom hurting. And you know, it's the exact same compassion that caused him to turn to his disciples. He said, guys, look around you. The fields, they're white for harvest. There are so many people hurting and broken. Pray that the Lord would send laborers out into the harvest. And you're familiar with that verse, but the verse right before it says, and Jesus, seeing the crowds, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, moved with compassion, turned to his disciples. See, it was his compassion that called his disciples to pray. But there's no break, there's no chapter breaks in the original. It was just one letter. So that's the very last verse of chapter 9. The very first verse of chapter 10 is this. And Jesus called his disciples to them and gave them authority to heal the sick and cast out demons. I want you to pray that you would recognize how great the need is and pray that God would answer that need. And by the way, you're the answer to your own prayers. I'm going to give you all the authority. You have the authority. You can do something about it. You don't have to hide from it. You don't have to pretend it's not there. You don't have to get in the midst of it and just feel helpless because there's nothing that you can do. You can actually do something about it. You can have power to help. So if you would like, what I would like to do is pray that the Lord would put compassion in your hearts, that you would be moved to a whole new level, because some of you got this. But there's more. Some of you are afraid of this. But God's going to be with you. He never leaves. And some of you, you're doing what you can do, but you haven't started to see the power being released. And you're going to get anointed with power. Now, if any of that is you, just stand up. Let's pray. Let me start with this. Some of you are here and you have compassionate hearts and you know what it's like to be in pain, but you've never taken the first step of inviting Jesus to come in and to have mercy on your sin. You've got a debt that's just way too great to pay. And there's going to come a day of reckoning. Now is a good day. To ask for him to forgive that debt. And if you've never done that, you can just do it right now. You just ask him, Lord, have mercy on me. Have pity on me. Have compassion on me. I don't deserve it, but I can't do anything else. It's you or nothing. Help, God. You did that for the first time, let somebody know before you leave, because we just talked about training people to disciple. There's some things that'll really help you. Let me pray for all of us. Father, I thank you that you are inviting this church to a deeper level of compassion. Lord, that you have set them strategically to be an answer to something that's been hurting your heart. You've been crying over the pain. You've been crying over the addiction. You've been crying over the stronghold of anger and rage that has separated families and hurt children and hurt women and hurt young men. Lord, you have been moved with compassion, and I am asking that your compassion would be imparted into every heart here. Break our hearts for the things that break your hearts, God. Move us. Move us with your heart. Don't let us be separate, God. We open up our hearts to you and say, have our hearts, move our hearts, oh God, and let our bodies follow our hearts. Lord, don't let us just feel a little something and say, oh, that was nice. Let us do something about it, God. Here I am, send me. I'll be the answer, God. There's too much need. I'll be the answer, God. But God, I need power. I need real power. I need healing. I need deliverance. Lord, I need the authority to set people free from addiction, set people free from poverty, set people free from abuse, from being the abuser, and from the victim mentality of being the abused. God, help me. Give me power, God. You promised. It was your compassion that said it. And so right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I release power by the Holy Spirit to go about healing the sick, casting out demons, setting people free. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you because He has anointed you to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to speak release to the prisoners, give sight to the blind. More, Lord, let the power come. Let the power come. Father, even as you've already been healing today, even as power is coming on us for others, let power come in us for us. Right now, Lord, I rebuke migraine headaches, a cycle of migraine headaches, especially the ones that start in the temple. I break the power of that right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I break the power of arrhythmia, that the irregular heartbeat, the speeding up heart. I just break the power of that right now in the name of Jesus. I release healing right now. Father, that sinus issue, that continual sinus issue that won't go away, break the power of that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak freedom now. And just begin to increase your presence, Lord, upon each one. Just take it deeper. Take it deeper. More. Lord, that pain in the right ankle, whatever that injury is in the right ankle, would just speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we're receiving, you're speaking. Lord, I just agree with the words. Some of you are just having thoughts, having ideas. It's almost like a daydream, and I think a couple of you even tried to push it away because you're trying to focus on what God's doing. But it's actually God that's releasing callings. He's showing you where He wants you to go, what He wants you to do. And I think there's at least one or two people that just got called to missions. I mean, meaning foreign missions. Just say yes. Lord, we agree. But we will obey whatever you ask us to do. We will trust that you will show up with power to cause it to happen. You will show up with power to cause it to happen. Yes, Lord. Hey, God. So here's the fun thing. When God releases something, you get to be faithful with it. You get it in a seed form, and your faithfulness determines how big it grows. If you take a look, you just read through the Gospels one more time and look for this phrase, and on the way, Jesus. Because God consistently interrupted Jesus' plans with people that were in need. And most often, some of you have been asking for God to give you testimonies. You wanted to see power and breakthrough, and they're on the other side of an interruption. And you've got to allow Him to interrupt you and obey. When you hear that still small voice, just that idea, they're on crutches. That's all you need. Go get them. They don't need to be on crutches after they see you. Now, whether they are or not, make sure they feel loved. I need to go talk to so-and-so. I don't have time to go talk to so-and-so. You often won't. But is your schedule your God or is God your God? Allow yourself to be interrupted. Amen? Amen. This is we close. I'd love to chat quite a bit about healing. It's one of my favorite subjects. If you don't feel equipped to pray for the sick, you guys have some training for that. But there's also some little cards in the back that I brought with me that have a little training seminar on the gospel of the kingdom. What is that gospel? What's the gospel of the kingdom? And how do you pray for the sick? And how do you see God move? And I think it'll be helpful for some of you. So if you're interested in it, there's a little sign there in the back. And little cards so you can get the free resource are back there as well.
Thank you, John. Great. Okay, well, we're at the end of our time together. So what we're going to do is we're going to just take some... I think there's going to be ministry teams. I'm not really sure what's happening. Oh, there's prophetic ministry teams. Do you know what I'd really like? I'd actually really like... Could you pray for the prophetic community, guys? Well, there's a number of people who go to the prophetic community, and I'd love you just to stand wherever you are. If you go to the prophetic community, if you've even been once, you get to stand up just now. And we're going to pray for you guys, and I'm going to ask John just to do that, and just to release some stuff. Yeah, go for it. And then we're almost finished.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask that you would touch each of the people standing, each of the people that minister your word, fresh bread from heaven. Lord, I'm asking that you would increase their ability to hear from you. Father, whatever ability that you have given me to hear and whatever ability that I don't have that you want to give them, I just release the kingdom of God in prophetic ministry now. Ears to hear, eyes to see. Father, increase the accuracy of what they hear. Increase the accuracy. Increase the bandwidth. Where they were getting words, give them sentences. Where they were getting sentences, give them paragraphs. Where they were getting paragraphs, give them chapters. Just increase the level of the words. And Father, I am asking, even specifically as your theme this morning is compassion, that they would feel the compassion of God and that you would use their words, Lord, that they would give a word at the right time to those that are weary. And they would bring healing to hearts through the words spoken in the name of Jesus. Amen.